Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, your mom.
We are on season one, episode 8 of The Crown, called Pride and Joy.
That is my pride and joy that I can't seem to count back from 5.
Yeah, something happened with your fingers there, and then you had a seizure, and then you... I don't know. You pulled a Winston on me.
The number of the counting shall be 3. 5 is right out.
Apparently. Apparently. It's 4. And then it was like the worst sign language I've ever seen. Yeah, anyway.
Funny. So we're at season 1, episode 8 of The Crown. And we are, of course, going to have our usual disclaimers, which include that there will be cursing. There will be spoilers for other, we're trying to limit it, but spoilers for other seasons and other episodes and those kinds of things. And of course, there will be buzzing or beverages involved. So what are you having to drink?
I'm done with my coffee. So I can barely call it coffee, to be honest, but now I'm just having water. It's probably our lamest beverage yet, but it's so important. Isn't it the basis of everything?
Oh, wow. Wow.
So I had water, okay?
Wow.
So what are you having, Miss? I can't count down from 5.
Well, this could be why I have something that has more than at least 5 ingredients in it. So that's why I'm confused. I'm having an aviator cocktail, which again involves gin and, gin. So it has gin, it has maraschino cherry. You can either do it as juice or liqueur. And it has creme de violette and a little bit of lemon juice. And it actually, so that's 4. See, I can't count. 4 is the number I can't have. So, So it is quite a lovely drink though. And it is going to look very attractive on the posting that we have on Facebook. So there you go. But again, it is a drink that is very common in the UK. And I think I actually heard about it on a special involving Highclere Castle.
Oh, I remember that special.
Yeah. So they were making it there using their Highclere Castle gin, which I'm not using, but whatever. I'm using Hendrick's gin, if anyone cares. I'm probably never going to finish this bottle. I may end up giving it to my son, who is of age. So, whatever. We'll see.
And he also, I think, likes gin. So
he does, I guess.
I don't know. He likes a lot of random things.
He does like a lot of random things. So that, in any case,
siblings are a big part of this episode.
They are.
Segue, Natalie.
Yeah, yes. And we're going to talk, and there's a lot of talk about who's the favorite and those kinds of things. So this should be quite interesting.
Okay, Mom.
We don't have to. There are no favorites. It's not
okay. You can admit it.
But the name of this episode is Pride and Joy. Which, again, there's...
It's explained later. We can talk about it then.
Yeah. But this is all about the siblings. So what is the synopsis for this?
It is Elizabeth and Philip go on an exhausting world journey. Margaret takes over some of her sister's official duties and tries to liven things up.
There we go. Well, so
there's more to this episode than that, but sure.
There is. So the cocktail I had, the name of it, I thought was appropriate as a pairing with the let's go around the world on planes thing. That made sense to me. The episode opens with the Queen Mother, and she's very upset, and she needs to have a speech made. And we're not told exactly why right away, but it is the unveiling of a statue of King George VI, her husband, and she can't do it. She thought she was going to be able to do it, and she just plain can't. And so she calls her daughters in to figure out who's going to give this speech, and they fight over it, Elizabeth and Margaret.
Well, Margaret volunteers, but Elizabeth's like, that makes no sense. And honestly, kind of true, only because she's the monarch. So it's kind of like, who else is going to give the speech here? Like,
right. If mom can't do it.
if the Queen Mother doesn't want to do it, it only makes sense for the Queen to do it. Mm-hmm. And Margaret makes the case that she likes public speaking better and is about to say she was her father's favorite. And then there's this whole thing about the Queen Mother being like, oh, their father didn't have a favorite. Like, every good parent does not have a favorite. And you guys say you don't have a favorite. And that's true. I don't think you guys do. You love right. both of us equally. But I yes. think you have a bit of an edge sometimes. And sometimes Nick does. It just depends on the day. But well, overall, I think you guys I don't have a favorite. This.
You, I, and I'm not, it's just, you guys are so different. And I think that that is true with Elizabeth and Margaret too, is mm-hmm. that because you are so different, you can't have a favorite. You can't.
You love both like, of us for different reasons. Well, I mean, right. for the same reason.
In different ways because you are different people, right? So, you know, it's going to manifest differently. Definitely. So anyway, so they go to this unveiling and you know, Margaret actually, and she's kind of like catty in this and she says, I'm better at it and I enjoy it. And I should, it's almost like she's saying I should have been.
Yeah. And she also, Margaret also tells the Queen Mother, well, you get to decide, you're the head of the family. And Elizabeth's like, no, I technically am the head of the family and I'll do it. And it's like, that should just be that, honestly, but that does come up later, a little bit later.
Right.
So yeah, Elizabeth makes a speech.
The queen mother leaves early. She can't handle it. She's crying. She's very emotional. And so we cut then to Churchill, who is being briefed on anti-British riots that are around the world in Commonwealth countries and Commonwealth territories.
Including Gibraltar, which is a stop on the Commonwealth tour that they're Elizabeth and Philip are about to go on. And they're concerned about putting the Queen in danger. But the Prime Minister is like, don't worry about it. We need to do this for that reason exactly. And it's like, you're still putting them in danger. I think that you should make people aware.
I'm with Churchill on this one. And part of what
no, I understand why. I just
the tone of Michael. So Michael, the private secretary, is there. And Michael, and again, I think part of what I miss
Tommy.
Like, well, right, because Michael is taking the same tone as Tommy, this kind of authoritative, this is how we do things, and we will, you know, basically patronize the Queen and blah, 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 and she can't handle it kind of thing, which I can see Tommy possibly doing, but Tommy could pull it off because he's got 40 years of experience and the weight of that knowledge.
And knowing Elizabeth, like right. he's known her for her entire life.
Right. Michael Edine does not. And so it's kind of like, I didn't really take it from him. And I don't know if that factored into Churchill's response. Churchill, I think was absolutely right. He's like, she's the queen.
Oh no. Yeah. I think that they should make her, what I meant before was that they should make her aware of.
Yes.
But not necessarily just completely like sans it from the tour. And just be like, oh, well, we're just going to skip that part. It's like, no, first of all, she'd notice. Second of all, you need to give her a reason why. Don't just keep right. things from her. Like, she needs to be aware of what's going on and why. And that's the whole point of the tour, to make sure that everybody, to put on a show, to make sure everyone feels united and that kind of thing. So it's like, that's the whole point.
Right. No, it is. But the thing that is so fascinating to me is that they have sent Elizabeth to basically a fashion show. They have made over, I guess.
No, they made exactly 100 dresses, 36 hats, and 50 pairs of shoes.
Right. But they have like, you know, different flowers from each Commonwealth territory and whatever.
I think that's a good touch.
It was a great touch, but here's the thing. And she's like, well, can't we economize? Can't we cut down? And she's and the style, the designer's like, oh no, they told us that they wanted this. Who is the they? The they in my
the
mind,
government cabinet. Well, yeah, probably Michael. And but I'm like, how ironic, you don't want to economize for this, really?
Yeah, exactly. It's just
people are gonna notice.
People are gonna notice. And of course, you know, it's like, okay. And you know, it, again, part of what pisses me off, she's not getting briefed on any of this shit. She's getting oh, here's some dresses, you know, like here's the pretty stuff. Like they, it seems very
look shiny,
patronizing to me, but as a level of reassurance, Philip is being fitted for his uniforms for this, and he is pissed off. He is pissed about
them, his costumes,
right, for the Commonwealth Road Show. And he's like, and he talks about how the empire is crumbling and all these places have become independent, and we are but a coat of paint. We are just part of the mythology.
And a coat of paint on a rusty old banger that is falling apart.
Right. And you know, it's interesting to me, like, again, he delivers this with such you know, like genuine sincerity. No, but I mean, like as a character, like he, you know, Matt Smith does such a great job with that, you know, you kind of believe that Philip is just kind of disgusted with like the pomp and circumstance parts of it. But at the same time, you know, he's also the guy who has been talking, his character has been talking about how, you know, you've got to put on the right front to keep the monarchy from crumbling. So yeah, it's a juxtaposition, and I start to really wonder if Philip had come out and said any of these things, because I wonder if this is just a presumption on the writer's part. I don't either, but I kind of feel like maybe is in some way them speaking. And I say that because of some of the tone in season 5.
Well, I also
about the monarchy, and again, I think about like it's an anachronism, and I think, you know, a lot of those lines may in fact be things coming from them. Yes,
I think that they are kind of extrapolating from the fact that he was run out of Greece, and his family, which was like the royal family in Greece, was run out, and that whole thing, and that being like the backbone of why he thinks that this whole pomp and circumstance is only to cover up like what's going on inside and like how people react to it in a certain way. I think that's why they're extrapolating like this for him. I also think it's a little bit of a juxtaposition to like what he has said in the past about like, oh, put on a good show kind of thing. But I think more of that kind of put on a good show is for Elizabeth, on Elizabeth's part, than anything else, because I don't think that he does. I don't know. I don't feel like that's one of his core values. I think it is part of it, especially as he grows older. But I don't think that right now is, especially now, like when he's like being put in these quote costumes and stuff like that. And he's worried because everybody else is like, oh, there are a lot of independent nations that were once in the Commonwealth, and he's worried. I don't know if he's worried to a certain extent about there being more revolts and riots and stuff to gain independence for other nations within the Commonwealth. And that's a genuine concern from him, but he's seen this happen before. And he did mention it in the coronation episode about how he had to be like taken out because the monarchy didn't grow. And I think that's right. His big core of like, they need to change the way they think.
Right.
With the time.
Right. What I mean is that this idea that, oh, the monarchy's crumbling, they almost make it sound like he thinks it should. In this episode,
he's more like the Commonwealth is crumbling, not necessarily the monarchy that's at the center of it. I think that he's like, well, all these other nations are gaining independence. I can see why certain other ones will also want that.
Right. I'm starting to question, you know, that it is definitely a common touch that they give to Philip, you know, in the way they give him these lines. And I feel like, you know, part of the reason we love his character is like, we're kind of like him. We're kind of outsiders, and we kind of, you know, come into it with this, oh, you know, the pompous, or it's just, you know, a coat of paint, blah, blah, blah. And as outsiders, we're kind of like, yeah, sure. I don't know that Philip the person was actually like this.
No one knows. Like,
And again, we keep like attributing things.
I'm talking about the character when I'm talking about this.
I know. I understand. But my point is to get back to the fact that this is fiction.
Yeah, it is.
So I'm because it is historically based, we've got to be a little wary about all of that. I still love the character. I love Matt Smith. So there we go.
It doesn't only go for us. I feel like everybody needs to keep that in mind when they watch this.
Right. So like they're like, oh, you know, these are your uniforms. He's like, you wear uniforms to battle. This is a costume.
Yeah.
And I the way he delivers that line and the contempt of it, it's just done really, really well.
Then we go to the Queen Mother, who will be the Counselor of State while the Queen is on the tour. Tommy's going to be helping out the Queen Mother, even though he's in retirement at this point. He's going to help out. You're a real one, Tommy. We love you. Kind of. Anyway, then the Queen Mother basically is like, well, give some to Margaret to keep her busy. We want her to feel like she's valued and stuff like that, which is sweet. And then, the Queen Mother's
she uses this term with Margaret frequently. She needs room to shine.
Yes.
She needs to let her shine.
Yes. And the Queen Mother then is like, well, I'm going to disappear to Scotland for a while, so Margaret can just deputize for me. And I was like, thoughtful, but a bit irresponsible.
Well, right. I mean, it's kind of like, okay, fine. Back with that too, but he's like, okay,
is that a good idea? And it's like, probably not. Then Margaret's on the phone with Peter and they are complaining about the situation dramatically. Apparently the tour is 23 weeks long, which is insane.
Oh yeah, yeah. And it's like,
that's most of a year. That's months.
Right. Well, the original Commonwealth tour they were supposed to be taking was cut short because of the king's death.
Mm-hmm.
So I think some of what we see in this is Elizabeth trying to make up for the fact that she didn't make the previous one. She didn't finish the previous one. So she feels like she's got to make this happen and do it right.
Yeah.
Because they weren't able to do the last one. And to bridge that gap, right? Because no monarch has been in a while. To some territories. So she's really kind of feeling the weight going into this, and she wants to get it right. We've got a whole bunch of Margaret and Margaret, she just feels very spoiled in this episode. She's kind of a little snotty. Elizabeth's kind of like, do we really want Margaret doing this stuff? And so Margaret's practicing knighting people. And so she practices knighting Elizabeth. And they have this very testy exchange between the two of them while she's doing this practice. They're arguing about Margaret's like, I would have been better at this and blah, blah, blah. And, I love Elizabeth's line here. She's like, she reminds Margaret, like, you're standing in for the queen. You're not a showgirl. And I think that's one of those things that, again, you're not a celebrity. You are not, just a target for the paparazzi. You're the queen. That's who you are standing in for. And it means something. It carries weight.
Well, before we got to that part of it, and I do want to talk about that part in a second, but the Queen Mother tells Elizabeth about Margaret filling in, and she wants Elizabeth to give Margaret the room to shine, like you said. And Elizabeth's like, well, I am. And then the Queen Mother's like, are you really? And she questions her motives with that. And then the practicing the knighting thing is to assert the dominance with a sword in hand and stuff. And then she's just like, Elizabeth's like, flat edge, Margaret. Like she was using a different edge of the blade. Sword.
Yeah. She's using the pointy end, shall we say?
No, she was just,
I know. It was the sharp blade. the sharp edge of the blade.
Margaret brings up Peter, and Elizabeth's like, asks how he is, and Margaret's like, well, he's getting on with it uncomplainingly, like strong men do. And it's like, was he not complaining earlier? Like, I don't know if this is uncomplainingly, just because he hasn't run away doesn't mean he hasn't been complaining. But yeah, anyway, then she also mentions that he has to avoid traps to get him in compromising positions or lead him astray. And then also Margaret calls Elizabeth characterless.
Yes.
Like, oh my God, Margaret, what the hell?
Yeah. It does, but again, siblings do that, right? You know, they take the jabs where they can, right? And so Elizabeth goes and you know, Elizabeth jabs back with, you know, you're not a showgirl.
Yeah.
And so she gets on the plane, and Churchill goes to see her off and meets with her on the plane before she leaves. And he basically sends her off, Elizabeth off, with reminders of her father, and tells her to only let the media see the eternal and not see the queen. Don't let them see you sweat, basically. You know, don't let them see that they're getting to you, or that the endurance race that this is getting to you. The queen mother goes to Scotland.
Yeah.
And as soon as she gets there, I love this. Like, she's like, I need a ride. It's like, oh, you are Margaret's mother for damn sure.
Like mother, like daughter.
Exactly. So I must be on a horse. And she's staying with friends on the extreme northern coast of Scotland. And they tell her that there's a castle for sale on the coast, just down the coast. And you know, they're at dinner, and the queen mother talks about, and this is far more respectful. And I really do appreciate the change in tone about her here. She talks about she's had loss after loss. She lost her husband. She lost her house. She lost her purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But then she says something catty and ugly that I don't like, which is, you know, Elizabeth is totally unequipped for the job.
Which is really unfair. But also, before they go to Scotland, the prime minister talks to Elizabeth in the plane, and he tells her never let them see the real Elizabeth Windsor.
And I said that.
Okay, I'm sorry. Just don't let them see the crown as a burden. Sorry, I'm doing a lot of overthinking right now. So sorry. Also, the queen mother in Scotland is not my favorite part. So I wanted to talk about stuff I actually was interested in.
No, I'm with you, but I mean, I get that cattiness. Well, she's totally unequipped.
To go back to what you were talking about, she basically is like, oh, it's been hard with all the loss and all that, like you said. And she felt like after 17 years of being the head of the family, and she was about to get more to do, because she does admit that Bertie needed help being king, because he didn't feel like he lacked confidence, and she was about to get more to do, but then they took it all away when Elizabeth became queen. But yeah, calling her unequipped is a bit like, that's your daughter. Like, yeah, you can say that she's young, it was sudden, all that stuff, but to say she's unequipped.
Well, and if she's not equipped, that's your fucking fault. You're her parent.
And also in the present, and that was the whole thing last episode of like her not feeling equipped for like conversation with these people, but not necessarily for her duties as the queen. Like, I don't know why she's, I don't know. And also in the company of like, yeah, friends, but like not
strangers.
Like,
but yeah.
Like, yeah, these are right? Like people who can gossip about this and probably will.
Cool. It is not cool. So then they have, they land in Bermuda, I think, first.
I think it is Bermuda first.
Yeah. And Elizabeth, you can see like how grueling this is, like right off the bat. She's got like quick changes between engagements.
Well,
right?
I'd also like to point out that her speech is so similar to the speech from the last tour they did. Like,
yeah,
we are truly touched by the welcome we've received here today, a special place in our hearts, blah, 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 blah. I mean, like, it's almost word for word. It's kind of funny.
Yeah
it is honestly, kind of like, it's unoffensive, and nobody's going to catch that.
Well, here's the other thing. When you have that many engagements to do with that many people, you want to get one good rote speech that you can remember and not screw up,
mm-hmm.
and not offend anybody. And you just kind of like be able to rattle it off, because you see, like, they're just turning around. The pace that Michael, who's the secretary, has set for this tour is insane.
I don't think it's only Michael's fault. I think that it's only part of it, but I think, and he actually mentioned when they were talking about cutting Gibraltar, it's like they already have a lot to do and they should probably not do it. But I don't think that was like the main concern for them. It was more just like, well, oh well. And I think at one point, like when they're being told the itinerary for the day, like Philip's like, well, is there any time to go to the bathroom? And then he's just like, sorry. And he's like, tomorrow will work.
Yeah, we get to that a little bit later. But yeah, that this pace is insane. So then we cut to Margaret, and Margaret's got a speech that she's got to give to some ambassadors. She wants to change it. She calls in Martin. She's like, I want it to have color. I want it to feel like me. I want it to have character.
And Martin's kind of like, but ill-advised. I think the idea is to make it less rote and a little bit more like her, but adding too much color could become offensive.
Right. And that's what happens.
And these are important people. Like, that's exactly what Martin is like. Well, this is inoffensive. This is like written this way for a specific reason. I mean, I don't know. I can understand where Margaret's coming from, where it's just like, this just sounds like my sister's speech and I don't want to be my sister. I want to be my own person and put a little bit of me in it, you shouldn't change the entire thing.
Right. And so she starts the speech exactly like she's supposed to, she also like wants to wear her jewels.
Yes, exactly.
Freaking bitch. Like, well, they came to see the queen, so I get to wear the queen's jewels. It's like, that is really not a thing.
She looks beautiful, though.
She does. Of course, Vanessa Kirby, you know, could wear a sack. She is just gorgeous.
She probably could.
Yeah.
But yeah, Martin notices that Margaret has changed the speech. She makes some jokes, and they are funny, and they go down well for the most, from what we see.
Right.
And they're taken well. And I can see why they wanted to steer clear of those jokes, because they can't offend people easily and they're mostly jabs at them. And so I can understand why they wouldn't want to offend any of these ambassadors, because they're important people, but it's enjoyable.
It is. But here's the other thing, like, you're the queen, right? And say you like that it wasn't Margaret, it was in fact the queen, and she's making a joke about, oh, so-and-so is still single, he's like a swinging bachelor kind of guy. You make a joke like that and everybody in that room can repeat it to someone else, the queen thinks that he's like catting around, you know, like, that is not okay.
Margaret doesn't think like that, though.
No, she doesn't. She's used to being the party girl. She can be the party girl, and that is the difference.
Yes. And then we go back to Philip and Elizabeth. Philip notices Elizabeth is exhausted, and there's apparently a story about Margaret doing well and shining in the paper. And Philip reassures
she's upset
Elizabeth.
About it. Yeah.
She's very upset. And Philip reassures Elizabeth that Margaret will eventually mess something up. And but she's clearly worried. And I think she says that she's worried that Margaret will outshine her. And Philip's like, well, this is really out of character for you. Like, I think this is a little bit too much. We should probably skip a few things on the tour, give us some time to recharge, because they're going to 57 Australian towns in 58 days. That is insane. That's a lot of speeches. That's a lot of things to do. But Elizabeth says no. And then they're forced to do a parade for 2 hours in 100-degree heat, which they are not dressed for.
No, they're not. I mean, and that's the other thing, is that you have to keep in mind that the outfits that they're wearing are all these 1950s era clothes, like that have
Phillips in uniform. She has a coat on.
God, yeah, it's freaking torture. And so you can only imagine they're hot, they're tired, they're not getting like, you know, beverages, they're not drinking water. I mean, my God, I don't know how these people survive. I really don't
either.
And so by the time they get done, and we cut back to, and it's basically Elizabeth, she's trying to prove she just will not crack. And she's, nope, I can do this. You know, like, she's going to soldier on. The Queen Mother goes to the castle.
Well, she's watching the broadcast of it, like the reel of it as well.
Oh, right. And then she wants to go to the castle. She goes to the castle that's down the road, and it is kind of, it's got a good outside, but the inside's kind of like, yikes.
Oh, yeah. The owner, recognizes her, but he doesn't recall from where. He doesn't place her exactly. And he mentions that the castle's a bit of a fixer-upper, has no bathrooms or real dining room. And it reminds me of that John Mulaney bit about the realtor. And it's just like, okay, so it doesn't have a toilet. I know that was on your list. And also it's like with 7 children and 9 on the way and a maximum budget of $7, can Mary Jo like figure out how to get their get a house that is close to downtown but also on the beach, which is nowhere near downtown? Let's see what Mary Jo could do on you don't deserve a beach house.
Exactly. So some of these
but be an office.
HGTV is bizarre,
but I can't believe that this place did not have a bathroom.
Yeah, it didn't have running water. It didn't have electricity. It's like, what on earth? I mean,
how are you living there?
Back to the Middle Ages. I mean, what the hell?
Exactly.
So anyway, we've got
Elizabeth,
and she has a facial spasm.
Mm-hmm.
And
from all the smiling,
and Philip's kind of like, yeah, I woke up in the middle of the night when my arm was out of the bedclothes. And you know what I was doing? I was waving to the crowds in my sleep.
That's hilarious.
It really is. It's super funny.
So the doctor is like, well, this is a short-term thing. Like, this is a short-term remedy, but you can take I can inject a relaxant. Be careful around soup and drinking stuff. And he's just like, and Philip's like, oh my God, like, just all you need is rest. Please just rest.
And she's like, nope, shoot me up.
Yeah, exactly. And
so then we cut to Peter. Peter is watching a newsreel of Margaret, who starts giving some spontaneous speech while she's gone to like the coal mines or something.
About the living conditions.
Yeah, about working conditions and how awful it is. And she's getting laughs, but it really borders on political speech, which of course the monarch really can't do.
Reporter is about to ask a question. Well, what about the legislation regarding this? And she looks at Martin and is just like, oh, I can't say anything about that. I'm like, well, you were about to make a position and you basically did. So that's not good.
Right. No, it's not good. But again, this is the kind of thing, and it doesn't come up as clearly as I'd like for it to have done in season 5, but this is the kind of thing that Charles would do.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like, you really shouldn't be doing that.
Someone asks, oh, what, who's the coal for? Cause she mined out a piece of coal or was just given a piece of coal or something that she said she mined. But they're like, okay, well, who's the coal for? And she's like, I have someone special in mind. And I mean, okay, that's whatever. And then they're just like, oh, group Captain Townsend. Do you miss him? And she's like, yes, I do very much. And do you miss your sister? And he's like, not quite as much. No, I'm like, Jesus Christ, Margaret. That's funny. It's fine. It's not really. Okay. It makes a position.
Again. So she gets
against what your sister ordered for him. And that makes it seem like you're in a fight with your sister and it's a whole thing. It's bad. It's not good. Yeah. So, and Peter also reprimands her on the phone saying it wasn't nice to say that she misses him and that she shouldn't take a public event to take a jab at her sister. At least he's saying something.
Right. Right. He's getting it. Right. And you know, because again, here, Peter, whatever else might be true of him, and there's a lot that is true of him, he served the king. He knows what that position requires on some level. Despite the fact that he was also sniffing around Margaret.
Well, they also need support from the people that they're taking jabs at for this to work in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think is going to happen, Margaret? Anyway.
Yeah, that's really pretty stupid. So then we cut back to Philip. Philip and Elizabeth are fighting. So Philip's like, we're just dancing bears here in this circus.
I actually wrote down a lot of the dialogue in this.
Okay, go ahead.
Philip... Elizabeth, both of them are very aggravated. Philip is about to smoke a cigarette, but Elizabeth stops him and says that they'll kill him. And then he says, 40 a day your father smoked, and now I know why. Poor bastard. He probably took one look at this tour and thought, you know what? I'd be better off with cancer. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, Philip, now is not the time.
Yeah.
And then Philip asks what Elizabeth is trying to prove and what she thinks her father would say. And he actually does it with a stutter.
I noticed that. Well, I noticed it, and your father noticed it when we were watching.
Yeah,
it
too. And yeah, because he says, this is what he says. Bravo, Lilibet. Managed the whole tour. Lilibet never lets you down. Ticked every box. Never put a foot wrong. Now, finally, I love you more than I love Margaret. And then he goes way too far, and Elizabeth starts like yelling at him and throwing stuff at him, and like they run outside, and then they see that reporters were getting stuff for the newsreel at the house, and they got that little last part of it. And Elizabeth's like, okay, Philip's about to volunteer to go talk to them. And she's like, no, I'll do it. And then she goes and she is like, I'm so sorry you had to see that. What do you want me to do for your newsreel? I'm willing to do something for your newsreel. And they actually take out the film from the camera and they give it to her as a present. And it's so sweet. I think that's really, really people like that. People nowadays probably wouldn't do that. Like, no. I think that this is a very, I really like that they included this.
Right. And again, I don't know if any of that's true.
I don't know if it's true either, but I think that it's a nice thing to include.
Right. But again, some part of me wonders are the writers of this show like saying that there was some sort of like cover up of like events like this. I don't know, because I don't know. I mean, I don't know what to make of it, but you don't have like footage of something like that. That doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And that's so how much extrapolation is involved here?
I think the extrapolation is fair though, given like they know how much they did on the tour. They know how much like everything would stress them out.
Oh, sure.
And yeah. So I mean, think that adding people do element this makes sense. And sure. I think it was a good call for them to add this here. Sure. But yeah, we don't know.
We don't. It is really fascinating. So
but Philip,
you got Churchill. I'm sorry.
I understand where Philip's coming from as far as like what are you trying to prove and that kind of thing, but he goes way too far with
I agree.
The favoritism and stuff. He knows he's really trying to hurt her in that moment. And I think they're both just very tired and aggravated, but he shouldn't have taken a shot like that. And I think he should have apologized. I feel like we should have shown him apologizing.
If any of this actually happened, one would hope that he did. So, but we don't get to see everything. It's a 1-hour show. So we've got Churchill, and Churchill goes and calls on Margaret, and he's like, look, you can't do this. You cannot be giving
the thing and not yourself.
Right. And so he's like, I've called the Queen Mother. She's coming back. She's going to do all the rest of the engagements. You're done.
Yeah. Basically. Well, he sent someone to the Queen Mother. He hasn't called her. She doesn't know. Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Queen Mother is buying her castle.
Mm-hmm. For £100. And she's just like, are you kidding? And he's like, well, with the thousands of pounds that are going to be needed to renovate it, I think actually that's kind of fair.
Although it's a beautiful piece of property and
beautiful, right, absolutely, but so much needs to be done with it. So she buys the castle, then someone, they go on a walk, and it's really sweet, and someone from the palace goes to her and summons her back, and the owner of the castle realizes who she is, and she's like, she didn't want him to make a fuss, and also she didn't want him to double the price. Right. Which I think is cute. And then she doesn't want to leave, but she has to, so she goes.
Right. So then we cut to, they're going to be flying into Malta. And so the Queen and Philip are...
they're in a boat at this point, I think. I think they're on a yacht.
Oh, okay. So they're going to be going to Malta, and she wants to change the speech to add, this is an island of happy memories, because obviously she and Philip were newlyweds there.
Yeah.
And then they start talking about Gibraltar, which would be like the next stop, and they talk about the safety concerns. And again, Elizabeth and Philip fight over this, because Philip's like, I don't think we should go. And she's like, oh, we're going.
Oh, I wrote down the speech. Okay. I wrote down a lot.
She's angry, and this speech is really very good. Go ahead.
Yeah. First of all, she doesn't want them to look weak, and she wants to go. She says, I'm aware that I'm surrounded by people who think that they can do the job better. Strong people with powerful characters, more natural leaders, perhaps better suited to leading from the front, making a mark. But for better or worse, the crown has landed on my head and I say we go. Badass.
Yeah, exactly. Badass,
but I'm adding that.
Right. It's like, yeah, boss ass bitch. Let's do it.
Honestly.
Because again, you know, she understands that a lot of different people could have had this role, but it's hers and she's going to make the decisions.
And thanks. I think that I really think this is the perfect time to have this speech because it's coming from all angles. Like Michael is advising her not to go. Philip is constantly telling her maybe don't, and also is giving her a lot of like ideas, his ideas on how everything should be going. Margaret thinks she can do it better. The Queen Mother apparently thinks she can do it better. And then literally everybody, including like Winston, everybody's like telling her and showing her how like they could probably do it better because they're more natural leaders or more, they have more character or whatever. But regardless of all that, she's the queen and you guys have to do what she says. So,
and the answer is fuck all of y'all. Yeah, exactly. I'm just she's fabulous in this. And she makes it happen.
And they go to Gibraltar.
Yep. And the Queen Mother then returns to the palace and Elizabeth and Philip are getting back. And it is so cute because the kids and the corgis are there. And you can see Philip in the background playing with the kids.
Well, he also yells, mind the dogs at some point. It was really cute. But also it's mentioned on a newsreel that Margaret's watching as the Queen Mother comes back that none of the engagements on the tour were missed. And it's considered a triumph. But yeah, they're running around. He yells, mind the dogs as they run around. And the prime minister congratulates Elizabeth on the triumph and the influence it has gathered. And Elizabeth is told that something needs to happen with her sister.
Right. And so Elizabeth decides to meet with Margaret. She meets with her in a formal stateroom. This is not like some family meeting, like, hey, I'm home. Glad to see you. Thanks for helping out. This is not what this is. And Margaret recognizes immediately that she's going to get a dressing down too from Elizabeth. And she's gotten them from other people, but she,
from her sister,
has trouble taking it from her sibling.
I don't blame her for that part of it.
I don't either, but she's really struggling with it. And so she goes in and she's like, oh, well, you know, this is how it's going to be. And she curtsies to the queen, which she generally does not do, or we don't see it. And Elizabeth basically says the instability that you're showing, the spontaneity, the instability is inappropriate. It's a problem. You can't be doing this.
And the goal was not to get anybody offended, but she has offended people and she needs to make an apology.
Right. And so there, you know, Elizabeth, it's clear that they both envy each other on some level.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, I think that would be true with any two siblings in that
situation
for sure.
Well, maybe there might be like some people who are like, I'm glad I'm not the queen. I don't want to have to deal with
that. I don't, how many people do you think would be glad that they are though?
Nobody.
With the reality of the job. I struggle to think of anybody who would be glad that they are.
But Margaret mentions that their father would call them pride and joy. Elizabeth is my pride, but Margaret is my joy. And Margaret once again makes the claim that she was the favorite. And she's like, but Margaret's my joy. And then she's just like, I have to take my little victories. I'm like, Jesus, Margaret.
Not you're a fucking child still. I mean, if she is in her 20s, whatever, fine. But you don't need to be petty. And she's being petty. And it's sad.
She mentions that she feels like the lesser thing. But Elizabeth's like, well, you make me feel like the lesser thing whenever we talk to each other. So what are we supposed to do about this?
Yeah, you call me that. She says, exactly. You call me lesser all the time.
Constantly. Characterless. All that stuff. It's ridiculous. Yeah. And Margaret basically tells her that she just wants a future that she can bear. And she still needs to make apologies. But whatever. And then you see the Queen Mother has gone back to Scotland and enjoys the view and serenity.
Right. There's a line in this exchange with Elizabeth and Margaret, though. And I do see this with Margaret. She's like, the more perfect Elizabeth is, the worse Margaret looks. And she's like, can you just put one toe out of line so that I can live with myself a little bit better, so that it is okay that when I screw up, because the more perfect you become, the harder it is for me to be anything but awful. Right. I'm going to look worse by comparison always.
I can understand where she's coming from, but obviously she can't just make a mistake. Like that's like, she's the queen.
Yeah, no, she can't. So
she's not going to intentionally make a mistake just to make Margaret feel better.
But we do have the queen mother looking out over the cliff by the, over the sea. And I guess thinking
that's the end.
That's the end. So what were your best parts or best part of this episode?
I think Elizabeth and Margaret, I think their talk about, I don't love like the context of it, obviously, but I love that they did talk about it and it's out in the open. And I think it's something that they need to talk about at some point. Obviously it didn't really get anybody anywhere, but I think it was a good talk. And Elizabeth in general, I think taking charge of like, okay, well, we're going to do this, that, and the other. And I can understand like her insecurity, seeing all their insecurities, I think was interesting. And yeah, I just liked that. Yeah. What about you?
I would say, and it's more of the Elizabeth taking charge of things part mm-hmm. of it that I really liked in this episode, that you know, and she does it with grace. She doesn't say fuck all of y'all like I would have. You know, she does it articulately, respectfully, but she just says, this is my job.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna do it to the best of my ability. And whatever that takes is what I'm gonna do.
Mm-hmm.
So suck it up. We're going. And I really do feel like she is embodying something that, you know, you don't get to see very often anymore. And I think that that's really very cool. I really love that. What was your worst part?
I have a couple. The Queen Mother in Scotland is just a bit boring to me. I like the general idea of what they were trying to do, like talk about how things have changed for her. But also I did like how she wanted to make sure that the owner of the castle didn't know who she was so that she wasn't treated any differently. I did like that. So those parts I did like, but I think that overall, like they spent a lot of time just watching her look out on the countryside and doing some racing with her friends on horses. That I was just kind of like, okay, I did not mean to see this, but okay. And then Margaret and Peter, I don't care. And I don't like, I did like that Peter told her it's not wise to do that, but obviously it's not for the right reasons. Then Philip and Elizabeth's fight, I think that he went really far. And I think it was just, it was bad. I didn't like how far he went. I understand the sentiment of we're all tired and I know you're trying to prove something, but it's not worth it right now. Like we're all falling apart, but I don't think the way he phrased it, obviously the way he like worded it was not going to end in anything but disaster. So
yeah,
that's what I've got.
So my worst part in this, and you know, there's a lot of naysaying petty shit about, and I think, you know, this is an episode that is about the queen overcoming that. The queen, you know, transcending that, like, all right, you can be petty all you want to. I've got this job and I got to do it better. But when you look at like the naysayers, you've got Philip. And the thing is, in this context, I feel like I empathize with Philip the most.
Yeah, I agree.
He's exhausted. You know, she's pushing not just herself, she's pushing him too.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not listening. And so at least, you know, as described, so I empathize with him more as the way this is characterized. The queen mother, you know, they try to make her a little sympathetic, but you know, like, and I do think it is hard for her, you know, like to lose all of these things that she had, but at the same time, you knew this was going to happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it cannot be a surprise to you. So, you know, she, I don't really sympathize with her. And I feel like, you know, the pettiness, like, oh, you know, let Margaret do it. Some part of me is wondering, like, did she want Margaret to do it so Margaret could shine, or did she want Margaret to do it because she just didn't want to anymore?
I think she just didn't want to.
Yeah, or didn't want to help Elizabeth out because she doesn't think Elizabeth, you know, deserves her help. I don't know. It's
just, I don't know about that, but I think that she definitely just wanted to escape. And she's like, well, yeah. But I think she could have done that at any other time other than when Elizabeth is on a 23-week tour.
Right. I mean, the pettiness again. And the worst to me is Margaret. Because again, you know, Margaret, you know, for a person who has so much ability, she seems very focused on one thing and one thing only, and that is Margaret.
And Peter.
She's not very focused on Peter. She's focused on Margaret. And that, you know, like what Margaret wants, Margaret should get because Margaret deserves great things or whatever. Margaret is a worst part to me. Mm-hmm. In this, or, you know, at least the way she behaves is. So that's what I would say. How would you grade this episode?
I was thinking either A or A minus. I think I'm settling on an A minus because there's a lot more petty shit. But yeah, I'd say A minus.
Yeah, I would give it an A minus as well. And pretty much for the same reasons, you know, it is well portrayed. And I do love the fact that Elizabeth's overcoming a whole lot, but I just feel like the level of pettiness is sad.
Yeah, I agree.
So, all right, so we've got, how many more episodes do we have?
Two.
Is it two? Yeah, just two for this season. And we will be covering those really, really soon. And obviously we hope that you tune in and you join us. And
cheers.